Turn in your Bibles if you have them with you. Maybe we ought to do a sword drill on this one. The book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3. That's a good one to be looking for. My wife said she got it. She probably looked in my Bible to see where it was and had it marked. No, I don't think she did that. I don't think she did that. I keep my Bible protected. Or I try to. Probably say that and some kid will try to steal it next Sunday. Actually, this message began to ring in my mind as I've heard over the last two Wednesday nights the subjects that have been read and discussed a little bit, not only from right here, but also in testimonies. And we'll look a little bit into some of those texts as well. The book of Habakkuk. I still hear some pages rustling. I don't know if page number 991 will help you or not. That's where it's at in my Bible. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 16. It really doesn't look like or sound like a Sunday evening text, but follow along. Habakkuk 3:16 beginning. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. If your Bible has it like mine, here's a paragraph change. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Pretty bleak. Pretty dark. It's actually frightening to the writer. He trembles. His bones become as rottenness. He feels like collapsing under the weight of, if nothing more than just the anxiety of all that's going on. But then we find him changing yet again in the midst of this paragraph. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. A but if not religion. I would say that that kind of a religion is one that does not depend on prosperity, well-being, or mountaintop feelings to keep its faith in or its determination to be faithful to God. It's a little bit like the three Hebrew boys that we read about and heard about a couple of Wednesday nights ago. You remember what they said, don't you? It wasn't that long ago that we read from that passage. Three Hebrew boys, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, "We are not careful to answer thee, O king." I like to submit one word, add one word into that, that kind of puts a little bit of spiritual arrogance into it. We're not even careful to respond to you, O king. Now that doesn't mean that they weren't serious about the situation. It doesn't mean that they didn't have some concerns. But in the midst of all that was going on, there wasn't even a question mark because they had settled the question, we are going through with God. Actually, they tell us that. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King, but if not. Right there it is, a but if not religion. But if not. Now again, in my opinion, the worst pain that I've ever had was a severe burn. I the kind that blisters up and it's just an extremely painful, to me, very extremely painful experience. Looking at the face of an open fiery furnace that was then heated 7 times hotter, and it was so hot that it killed the guards that threw these Hebrew boys in there, I would be trembling just like Habakkuk. Stuttering for words, trying to come up with some kind of an excuse or reason to talk my way out of whatever the situation was so that I wouldn't have to be caught in that kind of a thing. But these three Hebrew boys had such a spine in them, they said, "We're not careful, answer thee, O King. He, our God, is able to deliver us, but even if He chooses not to, we're still not going to bow and worship your gods." That's an incredible, incredible backbone. Then we can go on to Queen Esther. Heard about her last week. Now, she doesn't say it the exact same way these Hebrew boys did. But she said it this way, which means the same thing. If I perish, I perish. Wait a minute, how many of us are just longing to die? Esther, if you go in before the king and you do not have a summons from him, you stand a chance at dying. He has every right, every power, and has done it before, to take your head off. You have to have a summons from the king to go into his presence at this time. And she knew that. She talked about that to Mordecai. She said, "I can't go in there." Mordecai said those famous words, "Perhaps you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this." And somewhere down in the midst of her soul, she came to that desire and that conclusion, if I perish, I perish, no matter what the circumstances are. What about Ananias over in the New Testament? Acts chapter 9. We may not think about that so much in the same light, but really it was. Ananias has a vision from the Lord. The Lord speaks to him and said, "Arise, go into the street," Acts chapter 9, verse 11, "which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." And Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard an awful lot about this man. He's done an awful lot of evil against the saints of Jerusalem. Well, Lord, you remember, I'm one of those saints here at Damascus. He has letters from the leaders of Jerusalem to permission to come and take people like me here in Damascus back with him to Jerusalem and do to us what he did to the saints there. Lord, this isn't ringing true in my mind here right now. Same ideas going on. What happened?" Ananias went. Ananias, somewhere down in the midst of his soul, came up with the same thing. "I don't know what's going on here, but God can give me deliverance, and if not, if I perish, I perish." What about Paul the Apostle himself? Going on back to chapters 21 and 22 of the book of Acts, we find that now formerly known as Saul of Tarsus is known as Paul the Apostle, and instead of him beating people, he's being beaten. Instead of him ridiculing people, he's being ridiculed. He's being stoned. He's being knocked down. He's being hurt. A lot of pain and suffering going on, and yet he still spoke words of love. And over in chapter 26, verse number 21, For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore, in verse 22, obtained help from God, I continue unto this day. A religion that does not depend on prosperity, well-being, or mountaintop experiences or feelings to keep its faith in or its determination to be faithful to God. Wow. Then there's Job. Can't forget Job, can we? Isn't he the example of all suffering? Whenever we get down, that's who we go to for encouragement. You know, what about Job? One of the greatest accounts of the Scripture, I think. No matter how low I might be, no matter how low you might be, Job was lower. No matter how many losses we've suffered, Job suffered more. Really, I believe that. You know, I've talked from time to time about, you know, my wife and I and our relationship and, you know, the differences and some... Is there any comparison? The differences. You know, I just can't imagine my wife walking up to me one day in the midst of all the pain and the anguish that he was experiencing and say, John, why don't you just curse God and die? I can't imagine that. That would have to be nearly the last straw. It just boggles my mind how Job could come back with him and back with the answer that he came back with. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You want to talk about a but if not religion? Job surely had something down in his soul that no matter what circumstances came his way, he was going to serve God. Now that's phenomenal. But if not, look at Habakkuk here. What he saw, what he was seeing scared him. His belly trembled, his lips quivered, his joints went weak, his whole body trembled. He was wanting to have a little bit of ease and luxury. But what he was seeing was an enemy coming in and destroying everything, invading them with his troops. Matthew Henry said, would cut them in pieces with his troops. Matthew Henry went on to say, when things look bad, we are too apt to aggravate them and make them worse. How many of us are guilty of something like that? Yeah, it's bad, so we make it worse. Famine follows war. There in verse 17, the fig tree. The fig tree in that passage, we are told, would be their major food source. Representative of their major food source. The grapes would be representative of nearly their only beverage. Olives, that is representative. Well, I think Matthew Henry's when it said olive oil to them is what butter is to us. How many of you live without butter or some kind of an oil? Butter, oil, something along. Do you live without it? Very little, huh? Do you like unbuttered toast? Do you like to just fry your eggs on a dry skillet? No, we use oil and butter just quite often. Well, that's what their representation here would be. Fields not producing. Picture it in your mind. The planting is all done. The corn seed's in the ground. The wheat's in the ground. Barley's in the ground. Whatever it is in the ground. The beans are in the ground. Everything's growing beautifully. Beautiful big stalks. You know, the corn reaches a wonderful height. You can, you know, I'll be able to decorate well with those come Thanksgiving time or fall season. I'll be able to decorate. Comes harvest time and there's no ears on the corn. There's no bean pods on the beans. And there's no heads of wheat on the wheat stalks. It's just beautiful, beautiful stalks and beautiful plants and beautiful greenery. Well, that's what's apparently taking place here in the reference. There's nothing going on. It's a tremendous famine that has taken place. Everything is affected. You know what happens when that takes place? Not only do people begin to have concerns about themselves, but their cattle, the animals, go hungry. And then that aggravates the hunger of humanity. The cycle continues. But Habakkuk said, when everything looked bad, when everything good was taken away, there was still something more. You know, we look at that and we could probably very easily say, you know, God's really putting the clamps on here. And we've done that, haven't we? Things, tragedy takes place. Well, God's just bringing judgment there. God's just dealing with that person or those people and all that kind of stuff. How many times have we even heard it today, in our day, from quote-unquote Christian people? If God were a loving God, He wouldn't take that away from me. He wouldn't be so hard on me. He wouldn't say no to so much. You know, we've heard it. I'm sure you have. I know I have. From people that profess to be Christian, serving God, and yet they're fussing about what God has said no to or taken away from them. You know, I'm just so angry at God right now. Bitter at God for taking that away. We want to hang on to some things. We don't want to let go of everything. That's just part of our human nature. It's hard for us to yield our all to God and let Him have full control. It's just like the rich young ruler found in Mark chapter 10. You know, he was a good guy. He was a religious fella. He was doing everything that he knew to do. But then when he came in personal contact with Jesus Christ, he asked Christ, What is it that I need to do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, You're a pretty good guy. You've just done so well here, but there's just one thing that you need to do yet. In essence, Jesus wrapped it up for you and I as well. When he told that rich young ruler those words that were case particular and specific for him, it was the paramount for you and I as well. Yield everything that you have. Give it all to God. A complete surrender to Jesus Christ. I know that sometimes we argue about it or we don't like the terminology, but it's still true. Give Him full lordship of our lives. That's not just scratching the surface rhetoric. That's real, true life living. Lordship. A but if not religion. That rich young ruler went away very sorrowful and grieved. Surely God will give me just this one little thing. Allow this one simple thing. Forgive me of this one error or this one tragedy or this one whatever thing it is that I want to hang on to. But a but if not religion is a complete surrender to Him and say, doesn't matter what comes my way, I'm going through with God. When all else is gone, God is not gone. Matthew Henry said, "Destroy the vines and fig trees, and you make all the mirth of the heart to cease." Destroy the vines and fig trees, and you make all the mirth of the heart to cease. But those who, when they were full, enjoyed God in all, but when they are emptied and impoverished, can enjoy all in God. When everything's good going our way, we can enjoy God in the midst of all of that. But when things aren't going so good and troubles seem to come our way, and it's every time you turn the corner, something else bad is taking place, then we can enjoy all in God. That's when He becomes a more realistic idea in our mind and thinking when we say, He is my all in all. A but if not religion. I am going to serve God in spite of. Habakkuk said it so well here in these last two verses. In the midst of all that trouble, He doesn't say it the way that I've said it here tonight, a but if not religion, but that's really what he says in the way he words it. All these problems, what is it that he said? He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet to be like hinds' feet. What a comparison. I understand that some, my wife said not to bring deer hunting into it tonight, but I understand that some people saw some deer running yesterday. Boy, you know how well they can leap, how graceful they can just bound through the woods and get away. Beautiful sight, unless you're really hungry. I watched a couple of them do that yesterday too. Graceful. Boy, just a few bounds and off the food plot, they were gone into the woods and history. Who knows if they'll ever be seen by me again. Why did they run away? Because as I was walking in, they saw me or heard me or where the wind was blowing, they might have even winded me and gone. You see, to me, or to them, I am their enemy. I am bringing tragedy into their world, and so they are taking off. The comparison here is that He will give us hind speed. We can gracefully bound over top of the crags and the crevices and escape the worst part if we put our trust in Him who can give us strength. Matthew Henry said, able to outrun the troubles and stay ahead of them or walk in high places. Thus, the prophet who began with trembling concludes with rejoicing. A but if not religion. I don't know what I have to face this week. Jim Burris in Evansville always was thankful for the health that he had. God gave him good health for a number of years. But he always seemed to come down to the end of his praising God for the health, and he would say something like this. He'd say, I thank God for what He's given me in health, but he said, I don't know when He'll take it from me. Now, Brother Burris, quit being so morbid. You know, we don't really want to be around people that are morbid all the time. Marlon Maddox used to be on the radio, and just so negative all the time negative. Everything was bad, everything was rotten. You could never hear a smile in his voice. Well, it's just hard to listen to it all the time. Brother Burris, quit talking about your health being gone. You've got good health, but he was so realistic. God has blessed me with all this good benefit. I don't know when it's going to end, but I'm going to thank Him now for what He has done. And if He takes it away, I can be like Job. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. It's called a but if not religion. If I don't get the blessings continuing through my life, and if I don't continue to enjoy all the good things that I enjoy now, then it's still a but if not. God is able to deliver me from, or us from, the fiery furnace, but if not, we will not bow the knee. Is that the way it is? That's the way it ought to be if we're yielded completely to the Master. Let's stand together tonight.